And so we're in 2 Kings chapter 6 again, and we said that there are two scenes in this portion of Scripture that we read. Scene 1 is at the Log College in Jericho, which is now bursting at the seams, experiencing revival, blessedness. And in that scene, they say, let us go to Jordan, build a new log college. We need a new building. We need a new location. And it's a blessed work of God that has been done amongst that men. Every one of them, with great enthusiasm, going down to the River Jordan to fell their trees, to make their logs, and to build a new theological seminary to sit at the feet of their father Elisha and be taught the word of God from his lips. So scene 2 then is at the River Jordan. We've already met this scene on the Lord's Day evening, and we drew a gospel message out of it. And so we look at the scene again, and we draw forth other instruction out of it, which I believe is latent in it and has been given to us for this purpose of edification tonight. So the Jordan, the sons of the prophets, are cutting down the trees, and this incident occurs. The prophet, the son of the prophet, as he was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Now, it seems a trivial incident. And I've had to ask myself, why is it in the Bible? Why is something as simple as this? After all, this happens all the time. Not the miracle, but mistakes and accidents and little incidents. Happens all the time. Lose things. There are mistakes that are made. They're no big deal, we suppose. So this son of the prophet who lost his axe head, he was no doubt swinging with enthusiasm. And it was while he was doing that, perhaps in the momentum, the head went flying off and it landed in the River Jordan and sunk down into the murky waters and was lost. It was really quite funny. I'm sure his colleagues could not keep themselves from laughing. I know that because something like this happened to me once. Whenever I was doing something, and it dropped down into a deep well, and I lost it. I won't go into all the details about it. And everybody thought it was funny. I didn't think it was funny, because I was accountable for it, and it had to be returned. And I was glad that it was recovered. And while the men laughed, they helped me recover it, and I was glad. But I could understand why his brethren would want to laugh. But he wasn't laughing. He wasn't laughing one bit. He was distressed, because it says here, he cried. He cried. He just completely was alarmed about the whole matter, and he cried out to the prophet. He said, alas, alas, master. He's distressed. The poor man's distressed. Now, I have a feeling that there's some guilt on his mind as well. I think he must have done something wrong. Probably he didn't check his tool right. Probably he didn't have a good check of the wedge that was wedging it onto the shaft. Or maybe he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing in the process of cutting it. It's not just that he's lost. I think there's a sense of guilt. I'm going to go into that in a wee bit more detail as we proceed through the sermon if we've time. But he cried. He's distressed. He's alarmed. And what I want to do tonight is to bring into this scene several verses of Scripture. And I want to use those verses of Scripture like little lamps, just to illuminate this whole scene. And I trust that that'll be edifying to you. And also it'll make it memorable to you what this story's all about. So We're getting outside help. We have to, what's this all about? So we have to bring lamps of other texts of Scripture just to shine on the page. And I think that'll help us best of all understand what this story is about. And so I want to give you 3 points, if we've time to go through the 3 points. And for each point, I'll commence with a lamp of Scripture to shine on the scene. The first text of Scripture that I draw your attention to under the first point, and indeed there'll be 2 texts of Scripture, but the first one is found in Matthew. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. And it's a good thing just to write these texts beside the story, and that'll really help your memory whenever you're reading that account in future occasions. Matthew 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. It's particularly the first half that I want you to remember. A good man has a good heart. He's a good heart. And what's in a good heart comes out. Because a good man bringeth out of his good heart good things. I want you to keep that in mind. Because this incident is revealing hearts. Every incident reveals hearts. That's what it's all about. If things happen, it's to reveal hearts. Revealing hearts. And a good man's heart will be revealed. And a bad man's heart will be revealed too. It will. I want you to keep that in mind. There's another verse I want you to keep in mind as well. It's found in Luke chapter 2. This is under the first point. We're bringing 2 lamps in the first point to the narrative story. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, it's Simeon, verse 34, and he's blessing Mary and Joseph and the child, and he said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And then he says this in verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed. Do you see what Simeon is saying? Simeon is saying, Mary, you're going to have an incident in your life which is going to cut you right to the heart. It's going to cut you right to the heart. It's going to cut your soul. Now, she had several of those, but particularly the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest one of all. Mary was there, and it cut her to the heart. But that incident, which cut her to the heart, that incident is going to reveal other hearts as well. It's going to reveal the Roman soldiers' hearts. It's going to reveal the disciples' hearts. It's going to reveal the Jewish leaders' hearts. It's going to show what's in the heart. Every incident is for that reason. Everything that distresses us, everything that hurts us, everything that comes into our life unexpected, that has hurt upon us, it is to reveal the hearts. It is to show whether there are good men or bad men. It reveals the hearts. God is doing that all the time. That's what life is about. It's this probation in life where there are all these tests, and God is revealing our hearts for the judgment day silence. So those are the 2 texts of Scripture that I want to shine over this story. There is the good heart, first of all, of the theological student, the son of the prophet. You see, this theological student is a good man. He's a complete contrast to Gehazi in chapter 5, which we haven't time to go into, but it's all arranged properly by the Holy Spirit, all the stories. Gehazi stood before the master one time and he was silent. He had nothing to say because he had his house stacked with all the covetous goods that he gathered up. But now we have another man standing before the prophet. And he's saying, "Alas, alas, master, it's borrowed. It's borrowed." And I say to you, this man is revealing his good heart. He's conscientious. He's concerned. He's considerate. He's careful and he's mortified that this has happened. He feels the shame and it gets in on his mind. And he's a good man, you see. And I'm wondering, are we good Christians like that? Conscientious all the time. Things get in on our mind because we care. Is good things coming out of our heart when God sends us all these tests? And we're going through quite a lot of tests lately, aren't we? But what's coming out of our hearts? That's the question. What's being revealed in our conscience and to us before God as he brings us through all these incidents? Now, this man is not named, but I tell you this, I like him. He's the kind of man I'd employ. He's the kind of man I'd have in my shop, if I had a shop. He's a man, even though he lost the axe head, he's the kind of man I would give an axe head to. Because he's a man who cures. He's a man who takes his conscience serious. He's a man who only wants to do what's right. That's all he wants to do, just to do what's right. I like that man. He's not trying to cover it up. He's not a brusher of it under the carpet. Alas, master. Are we Christians like that? You see, this axe head was valuable. It was made of iron. And there are no natural resources of iron in Israel. Even the trinkets, even the metal trinkets are dear. But this is a big, heavy iron. It was valuable. And as well as that, it was borrowed. Alas, master, for it was borrowed. It doesn't belong to me. I was just the steward of it. It was just given to me. It was donated for a while to the college. And I've lost it, master. Alas. Alas. We're all stewards. Everything we have is borrowed from God. Are we conscientious about it? This ministry that you receive every week is borrowed. It's borrowed. Are you good stewards of this ministry? Your breath that you breathe is borrowed. Are you good stewards of it? How you use your life. He's concerned. It's bad enough. There are some people, if it was their own, they'd be far more distressed. And because of somebody else, it's not too bad, it's his. I can understand, it just fell off, it just dropped away. You understand, he's a sensible man. This man's not like this. He felt worse because it was somebody else's. He felt worse. He actually would have felt quite good if it had been his own. I wouldn't have been happy about it, but at least it would have been his own. But this is somebody else. I like this man. He's a good man. And his heart's revealed. The Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Are we like that? Has grace and the Spirit and the Word worked in us so mightily that we have good hearts? Maybe sometimes there are incidents and we find we have a bad heart. That incident happens so that the Holy Spirit may let you see you have a bad heart, so that you might repent. And that you may cry and say, "Lord, give me a new heart.
Give me a new heart. So this theological student has a good heart, even though he's not very sensible and has made a big mistake. And then there's also the good heart of the prophet, Elisha. Elisha's tested again. If you're a man of God, you'll always be tested. Every day. And Elisha's tested again. And there's this incident as he's down with all the students. And this student runs up to him and says, "Alas, master, the axe head is lost." And so there's a sword in the young man's heart. And it's going to let us see the mettle of Elisha. What's he made of? Does a prophet eat the head off him and say, "You stupid little man, did you not check your axe head? You dumb fool, did he say that? Did he castigate him and call him all kinds of names and was just a nasty man to him?" You know, there's some Christians like that. Boys, there are some Christians I wouldn't like to work for, I can tell you that. But you see Elisha, and he didn't say, "Ah, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. That's something on your mind. Just shake that off. Don't worry about that. We'll not worry about that. We'll get another one. There's plenty of donors out there who'll give us more." Does he say that? He says, no, he doesn't say that he says, "Son," but that's the kind of spirit that he's addressing. "Son, where did it fall? Where did it happen? That's not gracious. Doesn't he enter into his sufferings? He doesn't castigate him. He doesn't call him names. He shows his heart and he said, where did it fall?" And then he went and cut down a new stick. It's a great miracle, you know. He cut it through in the shaft. That's not what he done. That's not what he done. That's not how Elisha does miracles. He cut down a new stick and threw it in. Because he cures. He's a good man. He's kind. And he's not going away behind his back. You see that stupid fool, he lost the axe head. He's not like that. He's a good man. Are we like that? Are we good Christians? In here. In the heart. Where Jesus looks. Where Jesus lives. He lives in the heart. This incident has revealed the hearts of two good men. The Holy Spirit is silent about all the rest of them. I like to listen very carefully to the silence of the Holy Ghost. Because you know why? You and I are in that silence. That's why. There were other sons of prophets there. Their hearts were also revealed that day, but the Holy Spirit pulls a veil over it. As to the judgment day, how they responded. You're in that crowd every day. Every day. Every day something's lost. Or someone's lost. Or something goes. Or something disappears. Or something happens. Every day. And you're in that crowd. And God is revealing your heart for the judgment day. Now I wonder about all those other sons of the prophets. I think about one of them who didn't like that fellow who lost his axe head. He's smiling in here. The stupid fool lost his axe head. He's laughing. Oh, not up the face, but in here he's laughing. Ah, deserves him, right? I knew he was a fool anyway. He's not walking with God at all. I knew it. Is that the way I think about these other prophets? Because there are bad men among them, perhaps, as well as good men. And the wee incidents happen in our church. And why do they happen? Because we're all going to the judgment day, brothers and sisters. And God is working, revealing our hearts before we go. That's what it's all about. Were there those who were malicious and glad he lost it? Or were there some who wept with him? Who had compassion? Who had mercy? Are we glad when bad things happen to people? Are we? Brothers and sisters, do you know what that shows? Do you know what that shows? A bad heart. A bad heart. Now it does, brothers and sisters, and we have to repent. And we have to discover our hearts. And we have to say, Lord, give me a new heart. So, this is really heart-searching stuff, isn't it? Whenever you bring the lamp of Scripture to... This is why it's in the Bible. This little story. That I might know my heart. That's why. But then the second point. We'll bring another lamp. So we turn off these other lamps. And now we're going to bring another lamp. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, because you matter to him. That's what it means. So this is the lamp of Scripture. We're plugging it in to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're just shining it now all upon this little incident that seems so trivial, but we're shining it upon it. I want you to think about this poor man. Because sometimes that poor man is you and me. We're distressed. We are annoyed. We are worried. It may be trivial. It may be just the loss of an axe head. It may be insignificant to others. If we told others the things that are concern us and that distress us and that are upon our mind, they might laugh. And I'm sure the people, why is that? Why is our brother getting so distressed? Why is he letting it get in on his mind? I'm sure he had brethren like that. I mean, I wouldn't get too worried about a thing like that. These things happen all the time. Little mistakes and wee accidents and... But it was a great distress to that young man. Even though it was only an axe head, it was a great distress to that young man. Alas, alas, master. He was worried about it. He didn't take it lightly. It wasn't a little molehill to him. It was a mountain. It was a mountain. So it distressed him. And we know that the prophet cured because he said, where fell it, whenever he heard the words, alas, master. And so there's a master in Israel, and he cures too. And that's the whole point of this story as well. And all the power of God is with that master to raise this axe head from its murky depths, because it's teaching us, not only is the young man distressed, but it teaches us that God cures. God cares when we're distressed. That's what it's teaching me. Even if it's trivial, even if it's just a little thing compared to what others might think is a critical matter. And so a miracle is wrought on a bit of iron. A bit of iron, that's all it is. And a miracle is wrought on a bit of iron, because the loss of that iron greatly distressed a child of God. And I tell you this, whenever God's children are greatly distressed, God cures. He cures. This is what this whole chapter is about. It's a very interesting chapter. The start of it is about concern about a trivial thing, the loss of an axe head. But you know what the end of it's about? It's about the loss of your life head. That's what it's about. Because the king says at the end of chapter 6, there, verse 31, God do so to and more to me also, if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat shall stand on him this day. So here's two heads. There's one on a shaft and there's one on a body. Now which is the most important? It's the head and the body, isn't it? It's the most important one of all. And most of the stories given about that. But I tell you this, if there's a Christian and he's concerned, really concerned, about a head on a stick, that matters to God. That matters to God. What distresses you, child of God, matters to your God. It matters. It matters. You matter to him. And that's why he says cast all. And I circle that big word. Not a big word, but all comprehending word. All. Casting all your care upon him. Even if it's a lost axe head or a lost knitting needle, God cares. All right? He cares. If it's a big thing to you, it's a big thing to God. Is there something lost to you tonight? Have you lost your health? It matters to God. Have you lost your friends? It matters to God. Have you lost your support? Have you lost money? Have you lost your reputation? Because there's people out there telling lies about you. Have you lost it? Jesus cares. Jesus cares, brothers and sisters. What did our Lord Jesus say? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Every one of them. Don't fear. There's not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Heavenly Father. And you're far more valuable than a whole bag full of sparrows. Don't fear. Don't be over anxious. Don't be distressed. The Lord counts the hairs on your head. You know, we don't think our hairs are very important. We brush them off and they're not very important to us, but I tell you this. Important to God. It's a metaphorical way of telling us he cares. I looked on my right hand, the psalmist said, there was no one who would know me. There was no one who would know me. They didn't want to know me. They want to stick me in the corner and not acknowledge me. There wasn't anyone who wanted to know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, you're my refuge. I'm shut up to you. Jesus cares. And nobody else does. He is interested. So we shouldn't be like those disciples. I know the time is flying here. I don't know if I get to the third point or not, but I don't want to rush the second point. Do you remember how in the boat, whenever it was full of water, how they came, the disciples came to the Lord and said, Lord, do you not care? Master, I think it's Master. There's a Master in Israel. And just as this son of the prophet came to Master Elisha, so they came to Master Jesus, and they said, Master, do you not care that we perish? We're going down into this water. We're going to be like that iron axe head, Lord. We're just going down. And they said, you don't care. Now, of course, a boat full of water is a pretty big thing. It's not a trivial thing at all. That's a critical thing. They left it to the very last minute until it became a mountain. Brothers and sisters, whenever something distresses you, don't wait till it becomes a mountain. All right? Don't wait till the boat's full of water. Wake Jesus up a long time before that. And say, alas, Master, the water's coming in. You see what those disciples said? Oh, we can deal with this. We can cope. We're the big fishermen. We know all about boats. Let Jesus sleep on. They're big men who don't need to cast their care on Jesus. Well, Jesus just sleeps on and he lets them see how big we are. Don't be a big man with Jesus.
Oh, I can bear this all. Stiff upper lip.
No. Jesus wants us to have the simplicity of the son of a prophet. Even when we lose an accent, alas, Master. So the lesson here is simple. If it's not trivial to you, it is not trivial to Jesus. You matter to him. And your anxious cares, however others might laugh at those little things that make you anxious, Jesus cares. Isn't that wonderful? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Is he like Elisha? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep relief, my deep grief, there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Saviour cares. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is touched with them. Alas, Master. The story is told of a little Scottish boy who cut his foot. Whenever you say cut and foot together, you have to watch your pronunciation very carefully. He cut his foot and there was blood, a very, very minor injury. But the little fellow's not used to seeing blood. And he was very distressed, very distressed. This is a true story, by the way. He was very distressed, but he wasn't seriously injured, and the parents weren't too concerned about the matter, but he limped. He limped all day with this bad foot. It was so bad. All the blood came out. It was so bad. And Daddy came home, and he was running. Well, he was limping to meet him, limping to meet his daddy to tell him about his cut foot. And then at night time, he's going to bed and he prays before he gets into bed, and he still has his socks on and his pajamas, and he's praying with his mommy, and he's saying, Lord Jesus, oh, my foot is so sore, it's so bad today, you know about my sore foot, Lord Jesus, and things like that. And then his mommy, she tried to divert him. Oh, now, son, we have to pray about other things. And he did for a little while. He prayed about one or two things. And then he got, Lord Jesus, on my foot. You know about my foot. And then he finished. And then he put his foot leg up in the bed and starting to take his sack off. And he said, Mommy, do you think the Lord Jesus would want to see my sore foot? And the mommy says, no, I don't think the Lord Jesus would be interested in that, son. And the wee boy was shocked. In his childlike simplicity and his just bringing everything to Jesus, he was just so shocked. And he said, I bet he would. Like that there. So we ought to have a simplicity like that. Just to bring everything. It concerned his wee mind. It was nothing. And all the parents could see it was nothing. There's nothing to get all worked up about. And we're like that. Our Father in heaven looked down. It's nothing, son, really, you get all worked up about. But to us, it's so distressing. Because we're just children. But our Father cares, and he understands. So that's the second lamp. And then, if we bring another lamp with Scripture to it, the Master had said, where fell it? Where did you lose it? Where was the place where this fear began to arise? I need to know that, son. I need to know where the fears began to arise. I need to know where it went all wrong. I need to know where it went sour. You need to show me that, son. If we're going to deal with this matter, you're going to have to show me. Where did you lose your peace? Where did you lose your sharpness? Where did you lose your cutting edge? There's a place where you lost it. Where did it fall? We have to bring a lamp to that. Revelation chapter 2 and the verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Remember where thou art fallen from. Remember the place. You were at such a place, such a height, but remember where you fell from. Go back to the place and repent. As I said, I think there is some kind of remorse in this man. There's some kind of guilty fear. I cannot prove it, but I think this man has a sense of sin, that there is a wrong here. Even though it's an accident and a mistake, there is something of a wrong here, and the commandment is on his mind, and he's going to get into bondage, he's going to get into debt, he's going to get into a sense of bondage, and he feels about that, he's concerned about that. What this problem is not just the loss of an accident. This is a spiritual problem going to develop. Because this axe head belongs to someone. And he's going to get into debt. And there's going to be guilt at his door. So it's developing into a spiritual problem. And this man wants to go out into the ministry and be a man of God. And he wants to be right with God. And he's concerned. Alas, Master, it's borrowed. It's a valuable piece of iron and it's borrowed. I'm going to get into debt. And how's that going to affect my ministry? How can I have a ministry and be living in sin? If a man borrow aught of his neighbor and it be hurt or die, he shall surely make it good. Alas, Master. And the man of God says, son, just tell me, where did it fall? He's a good man. You know, he's not going to go on with his sham, a swing and a shaft, a bit of stick. He's not going to go on with that sham. He wants power. He wants a cutting edge. He wants a sharpness in his life. He's not going to bother with a stick. He wants a spiritual sharpness in his ministry. Where did it fall? Brethren and sisters, if you have lost out with God, if you have lost your spiritual sharpness, you have to remember the place where it all started. You have to. You have to repent and do the first works. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. That's the light we're bringing to this scripture. Where did you lose your power? Where did you enter into the bondage? Where did it happen? Where's the place? The master just says to you, just show me the place, son. Just be honest with me and bring me to the... Let's go to the place together and deal with it. Let's go to the place together and get it sorted out. But we have to go together to the place. You have to show me the place. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we have to go to the place. Where did it fall? Where did it fall? The master wants to know that. You have to show the master the place. Was it in the place where you got angry? Was it in the place where you said that thing that cut someone to the core? Was it there? Was it in the place where you got into bad company? Was it in the place where you did something you shouldn't have done? Was it in the place of neglecting the means of grace in the house of God? Somewhere else when you could have been and should have been in God's house? Where was the place where it all went wrong? Where fell it? Point out the place. Remember. Do you remember from whence thou art fallen? You remember. You can't lose out with your God and not know the place. If you had a walk with him at all. Where did it fall? I'm not looking to know tonight. But your master has to know. He does know. But you have to point it out. You have to repent, you see. He's not going to scold you. He's not going to hang you up. Because you repent. He kindly says to you, where did it fall? He graciously says to you, where did it fall? All you have to do is tell him. All you have to do is bring him to the place. That's all. Don't be afraid. Show the master. Show the master. Repent and do the first works. That can all end. It can all be over. But there's a little warning. And I'm not going to repeat it. You know it. In that verse. Confess to the master. There is a remedy, you know. He cut down a branch. Oh, we know what the remedy is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, there's forgiveness. He that confesseth them and forsaketh them shall have mercy. But he that covereth them shall not prosper. All you will have is a stick, a shaft. Never a cutting edge. Again. Let us pray.